Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber
and independent musician filmmaker Marcio Novelli.
This week we are welcoming the multi-talented Nathan Johnson to the show. Nathan is a Los Angeles-based composer, producer, director, and songwriter, known for his unconventional work in film and music. Some of his composition credits include his work on films such as Brick, Looper, and Don John, and most recently he directed Sun Lux's music video for You Don't Know Me, starring Tatiana Maslany. As a songwriter, Nathan is part of the atmospheric pop band Faux Fix and fronts the cinematic underground. We can't wait to hear more about Nathan's creative journey and hear the advice he would offer to fellow creatives. So we're just going to jump in and say, hey, Nathan, how's it going?
Good morning. Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
I'm well. We are jumping in head first or feet first, Russ?
I'm going to say feet first. I think it's probably safer.
Well, belt usually flop first.
That's what kind of... And you were a lifeguard at one point too, Ross. Like dive with your head first.
Yeah, but not into the shallow waters I worked in.
You could dive
into 3 feet deep water.
I'm too afraid to dive.
I want to say before we start anything off, your music videos, we watch the Sun Lux music videos. They are amazing. And Marcio wants to work with you.
So yes, I'm just I do. I do.
Thank you so much.
And Tatiana. God, she's just so awesome.
She's the best.
Yeah, we will get into that for sure.
Everyone wants to work with Tatiana.
How could you not?
I know.
Yeah.
How could you not?
She's incredible.
Now, before we talk about Tatiana, though, tell us 3 things about yourself that everyone should know.
I came from quite a large family. I think that's something that has definitely marked my journey.
So there
are 6 kids in my immediate family, and then there are like dozens of cousins. So we literally like grew up making movies and music like our whole childhoods together. It was kind of like a big film crew made up of kids who knew absolutely nothing about making movies.
I don't jump in the 3 things about yourself, but I gotta say that's actually the same thing my cousins and I used to do, and I thought that was just something we did. We just grab like a home video camera and just make stupid movies on the spot, like horror movies and everything.
We used to do that too, me and my brother and my sister, and I remember a terrible, we thought it was a horror film, but really it was like chasing each other around with coat hangers or something, and it was just,
but I remember
there was one part that we thought was really scary when we watched it back. I wish I could remember. I'm going to have to see if my parents have still got it.
Yeah,
that was hilarious to watch.
We jumped in there, but
yeah, we just jumped in.
It's cool how you do things as a child and you don't really realize what it is because there's no name for it or anything, which is actually a good thing. And there's no ego or anything. It's just creating something because, you know, I'm a believer that every kid is an artist, and, you know, some people grow up and stop being artists, and some of us are crazy enough to continue doing that. So please continue.
It's funny. You talk about it from that perspective because So my cousin is Ryan Johnson, who directed Brick and Looper and all this stuff. So anyway, we kind of grew up, all of us kids, making stuff together. And whenever we would get together for a family vacation, we would make a movie. And then at the end of the vacation, like, all the adults would come into my grandparents' basement and we would like show the movie. And then it kind of felt like we never stopped doing that when Brick got accepted into Sundance and basically the whole family came. So like the night of the premiere, we're sitting in Eccles Theater, and then we like turn around and there's like the whole family behind us and then like hundreds of strangers. So it very much felt like kind of this continuation that just hasn't stopped yet. So
how beautiful and organic is that?
Yeah, it's yeah, wow. And I still work with all my brothers. My brother Mark runs the Maid Shop, which is basically the architectural and design studio that we do the album covers that we make for and the videos that we kind of make out of there. So yeah, there we go. So there's one.
That's one, yeah.
Now Ross, let's let him.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep quiet.
Muting my microphone.
We don't have to do the three things. That's probably the only really interesting thing.
No, okay, that's the obvious. Well, that's kind of the obvious one. Like, what led you to do what you do? But are there two other ones that maybe no one or very few people would know?
So right before I did my first film score, I interviewed in my underwear.
I like that.
But
that's up our alley.
That interview was not for the film. I did not get the job from that interview. That was disconnected from the film score. See, mining the stuff that no one knows.
I have a feeling he's going through
it's things are running through. It's like a filing cabinet. Like, I can't say that one. I can't say
that's
that.
That's exactly this guy. I don't think it's like he's looking for something. He's like, what can I say? You can say anything on this show.
Yeah,
the only censor is yourself.
Well, you know, another thing I think I've always been really excited about, and this is more like a philosophical thing, but I've always been really excited about the idea of like lots of something little, I'll explain that a little bit more, I guess, but it kind of this idea that, that like the raw materials of what we get to make things with are surrounding us. And I think, as a kid making stuff, you learn how to do that. You know, you learn how to use the materials, even if they're just lots of little things. Mm-hmm. And I love art that uses like lots of something little, like the idea that, you know, kind of the only gate to accessing it is how much time you're willing to spend with the stuff. I love that idea that you don't have to, have, you know, access to an amazing studio, or you don't have to have access to amazing gear. That there's this great quote that I love, that Chase Jarvis says. He's a photographer, and he says the best camera is the one you have with you. Yeah. I really love, I feel like that idea, tends to inform everything that we still end up doing professionally now.
Well, I think that kind of relates very closely to the video that you did for Sunlux, Changes right. Everything.
Yeah,
because so really cool. All that's in that is like some pins, some paper, and some thread. And how many hours of your time did you spend doing that? Because it came out beautifully. So I think it's time well spent. But I think I'd be very curious to know how many hours.
Yeah, well, so... the nitty gritty is that we spent basically 2 weeks making the pre-visualization video. So I shot a bunch of footage. We filmed Ryan, the lead singer, lip syncing it. And then my brother and I kind of pre-visualized these spinning geometrical shapes and the city and the airplane and all that stuff. And then I cut all of that together as like a map, a guide. So that took 2 weeks, and then the animation was basically like when I would wake up until I went to bed for 2 weeks. And my wife Katie was there for that whole part of the process as well. So yeah, all in all, it was like a month of never leaving this room that I'm sitting in right now.
I'm surprised you want to be back in that room after spending so much time there.
I got to be careful about what I decide to do in the studio here.
Yeah, I bet. And the video's just been nominated for an Independent Music Award.
I'm so excited. It was actually really like super rewarding to see the response that it got, because it was kind of a dark time of making it. There were like many dark hours where it was like, you know, I mean, I guess practically we were just like, our fingers were so sore. Yeah. It was just like, you know, or, like, that's the thing you don't think about is like, at, like 3 days in, your whole body is hurting. And, you know, as I'm like, when I'm coming up with the idea, I'm like, oh, this will be awesome. We'll just do this simple animation with like pins and thread. And you don't think that like, oh, maybe I should have thought about getting like a more comfortable stool to sit on because I'm going to be on it for like 16 hours a day. So our backs were hurting and our fingers were hurting. But then like, I actually, like, I remember thinking like, I'm kind of not sure if this is even going to turn out, like, cause we didn't really have time to test it. It was just like, okay, start. And then, hope that it turns out all right. So anyway, it was really rewarding to see that people, you know, people dug it and identified with it. And yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. Thanks
so much.
Well, since we're talking about the music videos, I guess we'll mention, the Sunlux video for You Don't Know Me.
Yeah.
Starring our, I want to say friend, we don't know her, but I kind of want her to be our friend.
Here.
Yeah.
So starring Tatiana Maslany.
Famed for Orphan Black.
Yes.
Orphan Black, yeah.
If you guys have, not you too, but if the viewers haven't seen it, she's just phenomenal in it.
Yes, she really, really is. I could talk about Orphan Black all day, but we probably shouldn't. So I'm kind of going to just talk a little bit about the video for You Don't Know Me. Really, really cool video. How do you get ideas for when you're directing things? Where does the inspiration come from? And what kind of advice would you give for maybe a band or an artist who wants to hire a director? What they can do to make it easy or make the whole process as easy for everyone involved?
Right. I mean, maybe I'll just talk about the way that we did it and maybe that would be insightful to the bands. But, I mean, first of all, we were really good friends with the Sunlux crew and have been kind of collaborating with them for a long time. So that's something that is, I mean, I guess you can't like get that with everybody, but the benefit of that is that there's this trust that goes back for years, and so you're not. I think with this, we weren't feeling like we had to convince him that that we could do something interesting, because there's sort of this mutual respect that has gone on for years. So. So anyway, he sent us the record and we were listening through it. And I just remember the time frame for the videos was pretty short. So I was trying to think of something, for the pins and thread one that could be done really quickly. And for, you know, that we could do in our house. So I like sort of got that right, but it turned out to take a lot longer than I had planned. And then for Tatiana's video, she had been a fan of Sunlux for a while. So she was basically like, yeah, I'll totally do a video. So that one, it was basically like thinking up that, I mean, we wrote the video for her, which is really fun to get to do that. Just because she's so phenomenal, and it was kind of just like walking around listening to the song over and over again. And that one really kind of came out of what the song's talking about, all the imagery of the song. I mean, I feel like if you like dissect the song, it's probably like a God figure talking to its followers. You know, that's what, if you like break down all the lyrics, that's what it seems to be about. So we were just kind of thinking of it, and when I say we, I'm talking about my brother Mark and I. He's the creative director, and we were kind of just thinking about the idea of like, well, what would this be like? I don't know. Looking at different relationships where one party thinks they really get the other person, and thinking about how terrible that feels to be the person who's sort of has the wool over their eyes, who doesn't realize that the person they think are, you know, they're in such a deep relationship with doesn't actually get that same connection from them.
I love that. I love that. I really do.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, like, would you not agree, if you're working with an artist, they need to trust the director.
Yeah.
You have to put your trust in the director. You know, which is, I understand that's hard for some artists, especially if they've never made a music video before or worked with anyone before. But I think that speaking from an artist and then someone who works in film, you have to trust your director.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. And if you don't, then you're working with the wrong person.
Yeah, totally.
No, and on both ends.
I think that's true. And I think that's a helpful thing. Just like if you have the... if you have like the luxury of being able to decide, and you do, being able to decide which projects you take or don't mm-hmm. take, it's helpful to actually use that as one of the things that you use to help make your decisions. Like, obviously, like, it's important financially, like, okay, if I do this job, am I going to be able to pay my bills? But I think there are other things. And one of the really important things is, do I trust this person, and do they trust me? Because it's really, really hard. It's just like pulling teeth when you're working on a project and there isn't that trust and that mutual excitement.
Yeah, well, I think many musicians are musicians, and obviously there's exceptions, but a lot of them don't, a lot of musicians don't understand the film world. They don't understand the different roles. And, you know, I mean, a lot of musicians don't really understand what a producer does in the music world. You know what I mean? So, I think that, you know, it would help, I think, if before an artist works with a music video director, that maybe it's explained a little bit, these are the roles, you know,
yeah,
you know,
right,
because
right.
I think in a musician or a band or solo artist, whatever, they're a little bit afraid of giving complete control, which I don't think anyone should give complete control ever, like 100%, because any great director works with a band too, right?
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, long story short, it's just you have to realize that they're kind of the ones on the day of running the show. But they're doing it for you, and they
yeah.
want it to turn out good for you. Yeah. So chill out.
Yeah, because if it doesn't turn out good, then it reflects badly on them as well. And I think it's kind of, everyone needs to take a bit of responsibility and do a little bit of research first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think if everyone understands a little bit about each person's role and
yeah.
you know what's supposed to happen, everything goes so much smoother. But
well, Rob,
unfortunately,
Rob,
not everyone
I
does
just
that.
Called you, Rob. This is a year of doing the show now, Ross. You're a web designer, so I mean, mm-hmm. you work exclusively with the band, so you, it's kind of a similar idea. I'm sure you get a lot of artists that kind of don't trust.
Yeah, there's a lot of explaining that needs to be done when if they've never worked with someone before, and I understand that, you know, that it's not what they do, so why would they know everything? You know, if they knew everything, they wouldn't need me.
But at the same time, you're at a position where you have body of work, both of you do, that, you know, you can kind of show people and be like, this is what I'm capable of. And I think, do you find that helps with a lot more trust than when you're starting out? Because how do you prove to people that you can do something if you can't show them yet?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. And I feel like there's maybe a little bit of misunderstanding around this idea of like how you break in. Because what I've found, and really everybody I know, the way that you do that is, so you know, like the saying about like, it's all about who you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that saying is very true, but it's in a slightly different explanation than people usually approach that saying with. Like, you hear that and you're like, oh, it's all about who I know, so I can't do anything because I don't know these people that I think I should know.
Right.
And the way to like hack that idea is to understand that it is literally all about who you know right now. That's the thing. Like,
I love that.
When we're starting, like the first album cover that I did was for this friend's band that I went to high school with, and it was for like an EP, and then they were nothing at the time, you know what I mean? It was like a friend's high school band, and then a little while later they had signed to this big record deal, and it's kind of a long story, but they weren't able to get the artwork that they were thinking about, and so I was like at the drummer's wedding and we were looking at options, and I was like, well, what if I took a stab at it again? And it was like, they had known that I did this because I did it like for nothing for them when it was an EP. So I did it and we like shot it in our kitchen and it was, and they used it. And that band was The Fray. Like it, that went on to be like the biggest.
Wow. I didn't know it was The Fray.
Yeah. Yeah. So, awesome. So it's like, it's kind of this thing of like, it's not like, oh, how do I get to like work for this band that I think is amazing? It's like, just work with your friends who are making things. And that's sort of the same with the film stuff. You know, that I told this story about Brick and going to Sundance, but at the beginning it was like, you know, I had grown up my whole life making stuff with my cousin. And so when he did his movie, he was like, all right, there's no money to do this. I think he's thinking the same thing. It's like, not like I'm going to be able to go like get some composer that I've listened to my whole life. It's like, who do I know who can do this? I think that's like really, I don't know. I knew we were going to talk a little bit about like, you know, maybe, stuff to say to people who are looking to get started. But that for me is really like the most important thing is if you can understand that it literally is about who you know now and make cool stuff with the people you know, and then some of those things, I think the more you do it, some of those things will turn into bigger and bigger things, and those end up opening the doors to do more.
Nathan, I think that's up there with some of the best and most valuable advice that we've received on the show, and it's so concise and it's so simple. It's not about who you know, it's who you know, it's about who you know now.
Yeah.
I'm using that. Like, that's profound, man.
Because I've had a similar kind of experience, I guess, in that when you don't know the people that you want to work with at this point, you do work with the people that you know already.
Totally.
And then, you know, hopefully you do a good job, and then they'll recommend you to someone else they know, and they'll recommend you to someone else they know.
Exactly.
And before you know it, you could be connected to that dream client or dream artist, whatever it is, and it does happen. It you just have to be kind of patient, I think, and you have to be willing to put in the work for maybe the projects that you're not, you know, but you don't want to work on stuff you're not excited about, but you do have to kind of stepping stones, I think, you
well,
know.
Also, yeah. we always put people on pedestals, but I mean, people are people, and if we open up our eyes and realize that some people around us are could be just creative geniuses like we think these other people are, even more so, right? So
Why
not work with people around you? Which, by the way, I want to ask you, how important is it? I was gonna ask how important it is to work for free at times, and I guess I'm referring more to at the beginning.
Yeah.
But do you also find a value in working for trades or working for things other than money? Like, I always use this example. As a singer songwriter, if I had an opportunity to open for, say, Green Day or some huge band, but there was no pay.
Mm.
I'm okay with that because I'm in front of thousands of people.
Sure.
Some people have a problem with that. You always have to get paid for your work. But the thing is, money is so transient and fleeting. You know, actually being in front of people and possibly getting fans for life out of that is so much more valuable. So anyways, long story short, you know, do you always feel that money is the number one reward, not reward, but, you know, payment? Or are there other ways?
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think also like talking about these little like life hacks, it's really helpful if you disconnect the idea of payment from money. Yeah, you know, like you were kind of talking about, and I do this a lot. Like, it's, yeah. Well, okay. So yeah,
kind of like backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that if your only understanding of payment is money, it's going to shut down a lot of jobs that could be very valuable to you.
Absolutely.
So even the idea of, the idea of getting to work with somebody who you really respect, that is, I've found that's a very valuable payment, and that is more valuable in some cases than a particularly, like green payment, so to speak. But
100%.
Yeah. I think that's a really key approach. And obviously, here's a thing that when I was touring with my band, we would talk about this concept a lot, which is you don't have to play by their rules if you don't require their rewards. And to break that down, it's like this idea of, let's just use it like for a young band. What we were doing, this project called the Cinematic Underground, which was like basically a 12 person touring project that had like a graphic novel and projections. And it was like a ridiculously big enterprise for an independent band. And basically the rules say that's impossible. Like it's impossible to do that. You can't tour around the country and do that, but it's actually not impossible if you're willing to accept different rewards. So we just like rented a really cheap place in a really bad part of town, and we all lived together, and we all like ate together. We all like cooked together. So we figured out how, like, for like a couple bucks a meal, we could all live on stuff. And that's like maybe something that sounds like awful, and it might sound awful at different parts of your life. But if you care enough about doing this thing that you really want to do, it's so helpful if you can like scale back other parts of your life, so you don't need the rewards of like a comfortable bed or like a hotel to stay at on the road. You know, that's kind of just this really practical thing of like, yeah, if you're willing to crash at friends' couches instead of a hotel, then it does become more possible to do these otherwise impossible things.
I love the way you think, man. Honestly, it's right here. Wavelength, same cool. Wavelength.
Very cool.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Let's do it. Cool. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Composing or directing?
Directing.
Breaking Bad or Orange is the New Black?
Gosh, is that even a question? Breaking Bad, obviously.
Los Angeles or New York?
New York.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Canada or Scotland?
It gets
pass,
worse.
Pass.
Oh, you've used your one and only pass, man.
Yeah,
friend.
You get one pass. So you're good, gonna now, regret now, that. You're gonna regret wait, that soon. Now, Lennon or McCartney?
McCartney.
True Detective or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine Dion.
Or Celine Dion dressed as Marilyn Manson.
Just Celine Dion normal. I don't want to get totally freaked out.
I know, it's kind of a scary thought. John Williams or Danny Elfman?
John Williams.
Michael Jackson or The Bolt, as in Michael Bolton with the power grab?
Whoa. Yeah, you could have just said Michael Jackson or anybody and I would choose Michael Jackson.
Well, at least the bolt can't feel too bad.
I saw the Thriller tour at Mile High Stadium when I was like 11.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Saw Michael Jackson moonwalk and throw his red leather jacket into the crowd.
Oh, wow.
So that you can't, you like, it's that's not like even, child, yeah. You're just like, whatever, Michael Jackson. Yeah.
It's like Michael Jackson or God, yeah. The creator or whatever. I don't know. I'm not religious, so never mind. Let's just keep going.
Twerk or work?
Did you say work or work?
Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Gervais.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And finally, remember, you used your one pass, so you can't do it now. Final question.
Okay. How are you going to trap me?
Ross or Marcio?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, you guys are assholes.
Like you because you speak the truth.
Fuck you.
Well, you know what? I'll expect... I can't. can't talk.
I hate you both.
I will accept fuck you as a response to that.
I will too. That's probably the best response we've ever had.
That's a great response.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Oh man, do you have any music or film recommendations?
Yeah. So this is, I've been going on about this for a while, but my favorite score from last year, so this is a music and a film recommendation, was Mika Levy's score for Under the Skin. First time composer. She's got a band called Mikachu in the Shapes, but yeah, really fantastic movie, really fantastic score.
I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Very interesting, very different.
I love, I've been so excited about these, like this slate of really small, cool sci-fi movies that's been happening recently. Ex Machina is another one that I really love.
I want to see that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
it's awesome.
X-Men I want to see.
Upstream Color was a real favorite. So that's Shane Carruth directed that. He's the guy who did Primer.
Okay.
Yeah. What else? Oh yeah, Holy Motors. There's all these great, like, kind of little, unique sci-fi movies. And Black Mirror, right? You guys watched
that? Yeah, I am. I just told Marty about that, like, literally yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'd never watched it before, but I'd heard good things. And we just finished watching Humans, which is it's a remake of a Swedish show.
Okay.
And someone on Twitter told me, he's like, oh, if you like Humans, Black Mirror is the same kind of weird kind of vibe. And I'd always meant to watch it. And yeah, I'm still in season one. We just finished season one last night.
So good.
Really, really, really weird, but awesome.
Yeah.
And for anyone that's not seen it, it's like a look at like kind of humankind's relationship with technology. I can't really think of how else to describe it.
You're talking about Humans or Dark Mirror?
Black Mirror.
Because this will give you an idea of what Ross thinks of me. Basically, he told me this whole synopsis of it yesterday, and he's like, it's really weird. He's like, you'll love it. Really weird. Right up your ass.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. Well, that means I've got to check out Humans then, if someone wants.
Humans is good. It's a remake of a Swedish show called, which translates to Real Humans. And okay. I should have known, I've kind of got an obsession with anything Scandinavian. And I should have known when I watched Humans that there was some Scandinavian influence because I loved it. And that kind of explains why.
Excellent.
Speaking of sci-fi, have you seen Sense 8 yet?
I watched the first episode of it. That's all
okay.
I've seen.
Okay. Here's my suggestion. Okay. Keep watching.
Really?
I watched the first episode, maybe 2-3 months ago. And I was like, what the hell is this? This is terrible. They got the pilot wrong. Or I wouldn't say pilot because they were commissioned a whole season, but they got the first episode wrong. It just is flat, but the rest of the season is actually phenomenal. I promise. And actually gets better. By about the third episode, you're in and you don't want it to end when it hits the 12th episode, I promise you.
Okay, all right.
Give another shot. Because I came down with like this terrible head cold on the weekend, so I spent my whole Saturday, and I'm just like, I'm going to give it another chance. And I watched the entire season, so that gives you an idea. Like another day, so 10 hours.
All right, cool. Excellent.
It was totally not a waste of my life at all. It actually wasn't. It's good to do that sometimes. You have to binge watch.
Yeah, totally.
And while we're on the subject of recommendations, and because you compose for film, I figure a relevant recommendation is an Icelandic composer called Ólafur Arnalds. I don't know if you listen to him. I love everything he does. He does the soundtrack for Broadchurch, which I've actually never seen, but I love the soundtrack. I listen
really
to
good. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. But yeah, I love everything he does. And I would highly recommend anyone listen to him.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I want to ask you one last question before we kind of wrap up here. What is your opinion on the education versus experience debate? As it pertains to, I was thinking more film directing, but also to music. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I like personally didn't go to film school or music school, so I don't know how qualified I am to talk about that. Although I know people who have gone to film school and interestingly, they kind of what they talk about is like the real importance of it is the people that you meet there. Kind of going back to that thing of like
that's
So I think that's, I mean, if you have the chance to do it and you really want to do that, that's a great way to put yourself in proximity of people who are doing what you want to be doing. But yeah, I think that's maybe the most important thing is getting around people who are doing what you're doing. I find that, like, again and again, it's really, really helpful to not try to make stuff in a vacuum. I don't know, when I see my friends like complete something, it's like ringing a bell that like reminds you like, oh, this is possible. Like, I feel like that is such a helpful engine to keep kind of motivating you.
I love that.
And I think the experience part is really what, I mean, those seem like the same thing to me. Like, education that doesn't involve experience doesn't really feel like very helpful education. So whether you get your education through experience outside of a school or through experience inside of a school, I think the key thing is make sure that any education involves experience.
I think pick up your camera and shoot.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn a lot. And then get into a program and start editing it, and you're going to learn a lot. Just get out there, you know?
Yeah.
Same with music. Just do it.
I think that's another thing that I always think about is, like, we're never asked to do things based on our great ideas. We're asked to do things based on the last couple things that we've done. So it's really, really important to keep making things, like, even if you're just making them for yourself, because no one's going to sit down with you and be like, okay, tell me what you've imagined to do. You know, they're going to say like, I'm working on this thing, and for me to bring you on, I'm looking for somebody who has made something that I like, because that validates like their artistry, but it also validates like their ability to get something done, to accomplish something.
Because for me, I saw You Don't Know Me, I'm like, yes, this is the style I love, this is what, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's so important to just keep making things. And I think soon people will, you know, it will find an audience that connects with the style of stuff that you do.
Ross, would you be comfortable calling Nathan the Mantra King?
I think so. I'm actually going to rename him on Skype.
That's the Mantra King.
I'm going to do. Yeah,
just straight up, man. It's really good. Some really, really powerful stuff.
You should write a book.
Yeah, no, you know what? You're laughing, but that's a serious. Like, you seem to have a, like, we've just been speaking for a half hour here. I mean, you have a whole lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Ross, help me out. Yeah. Not just advice, but you have like a plethora of experience, it seems, man. And you wrap it very simply. That's I think it was Albert Einstein that said that if you can't explain something simply, you don't understand it well enough. Mm. You know. And you know, and that's what it's all about, to communicate for someone else, man. You got to say it simply. So yeah,
well, I like the idea of, you know, I like the idea of reminding all of ourselves, like, because I think that, you know, it's not, I don't know. Here's one thing. I feel like like making your living doing creative things is not something that has like a simple job application. You know, it's not that kind of a thing. So I just find it's really helpful to keep reminding ourselves about the ways that it can happen. That it's not unachievable, but it sometimes just takes thinking about it a little bit differently.
You're a great dude, man. I think everyone needs to check out your website, which is nathanj.com. Right. Your Twitter is ntjohnson. Mm-hmm. That's Johnson with an H in there. And your Instagram is Natronica.
That's right.
Natronica,
yeah.
Very awesome. If anyone wants to check out what I'm doing, I'm currently writing for my second full-length solo album, and you can go to marcianavelli.com.
If you want to see what I'm up to, you'll find me at electrokiwi.co.uk. I design websites for bands. So if you're in a band and you need a website, then hey, nice to meet you.
Ross is always like, if you want to know what I'm doing, go to my website. I'm like, Ross, tell them what you do.
Yeah, I'm not very good at this whole self-promotion thing.
I know, it always feels awkward, right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
We should start promoting each other. I'll be like, hey, if you want to check out what Ross is doing.
Why would you want to do that?
It'll just be a whole plethora of
I know, and then I'll be like, yeah, there's this guy Marcio. Some of his songs are all right, I guess.
Sucks. You know? Oh my god, man, this has been really great. Please do come back again soon, and I'm telling you, man, we're gonna be in touch because awesome. I'd love to do something with you down the road.
Cool, good to meet you guys. Thanks so much for Same having me on.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.